Okay, so I don't know. I think you probably tired of hearing me on Mother's Day, or seems like it fell this way again last week or last year, and that's okay. Hey, so today we're going to start with a little game, and I was going to be a game show host, but I'm not very theatrical, so we're not going to do that. So first, I'd like all the mothers to just stand up right where you're at. Now, some of you are still sitting because you're not a biological mother, but you are a mother to a lot of people and a lot of kids. So I'd like you to stand up. Renee, Chelsea, Elise, which one? Chelsea. I'm worse than Matt. Jamie. Okay. Now, those of us that are left in our seats, these ladies deserve a round of applause. You know, the one thing I've found, you guys can sit back down, I'll have you get back up here in a minute. The one thing I've found is, I got the easy part, man. When I was a dad, I got the easy part. And there's no greater proof of that. Morgan had her senior prom, and Lexi had her prom yesterday. Anybody else go to prom yesterday? Alan? Tim, how'd that go? Pretty good for you? Yeah, he was at the ball field. Perfect. Perfect. So, you know, and I'm not a list guy. My wife is a list guy, girl. Okay? She has a list. She probably has many, many lists. But I found myself this week thinking, gosh, I got a lot to do for Morgan's prom. And I booked the dog appointment at the vet yesterday morning so I could get out of the house. Okay? Then I had my list. I had to stop and get flowers. Then I had to wash and wax the car because Morgan was driving my car. Well, that not only meant wash and wax, that meant I had to shovel out weeks upon weeks of Coca-Cola paraphernalia and me riding in my car for my job. So maybe I did get the raw end yesterday. Man, I was pretty proud of that car. I had to check it for dents and stuff when she got home last night. Waxed the sides of it. It still looks pretty good. But I got to thinking, my tasks were all easy because I only had to depend on me. Now, I did that by myself. Shelby rode with me to the vet because I think she wanted to get out of the house too. Oh yeah, Chris went with me to sweep the car out, so I didn't even do it all myself. But, you know, Chris went to the beautician with Morgan to get her hair done. And for the previous two... Amy's not here, right? You guys cannot tell Amy. I said this from the pulpit. But Amy Reeder has done all three of the girls' hair. And for the first two, which are pretty flexible as far as their hair goes, they weren't home 5 minutes. They had taken their hair down from what they mom and dad had paid for because they didn't like it. So I was dreading Morgan because Morgan is my prissy one. You know, makeup to the T's and all that, I was dreading. I just figured that was going to be a fight when she got home from the hairdresser. You know, I asked Shelby. Shelby's kind of my buffer. I asked Shelby, I said, how'd the hair appointment go? Dad, it went really well. Her hair looks really nice. I come in the house and nobody's yelling, nobody's screaming, Morgan's not crying in tears. Then she come down and I said, man, your hair looks really nice. I didn't have to deal with any of that, right? So then it comes time to take pictures. And Morgan went with a young man, and he's a freshman, and he didn't know what he was getting into, and he said, yeah, I'll go. We have two sets of grandparents, a crazy aunt, uncle, and four kids, and his mother and his grandmother and his two sisters showed up to take pictures. And this kid just kept smiling through it all. And, but as moms, you know, the pictures to me were like, hey, let's go out on the front porch, snap a few pictures. Chris and Ashley and Julie traipsed around my sister's property and found opportunities to take pictures. I don't know, there's probably 750 pictures taken. Bryce just kept smiling. But being a dad, if that was easy. I had to reach in my wallet, give her money for supper. That's no problem. Being a mom did all the legwork. And I'm thankful for you mothers for doing that. Okay, now let's get on to my game. And I'm going to keep track of some stuff. There will be gifts, but I wasn't sure how many I was going to need. So your gifts you'll receive next week. It's an incentive to come back. But I called this Get to Know Our Moms. Okay, first off, who traveled the furthest distance to get here? Anybody travel 15 miles? Stand up if you did. 10 miles? All right, Chelsea gets that one. How far, Chelsea?
I come from Marion, so.
20 miles. I know that because that's when they start paying me. Lisa, how far? Fulton?
Yeah.
So we're 7 miles to Mount Gilead and Fulton's. Yeah, you're about 15 miles. Cool. All right, now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it this way, the oldest mom. And what I mean by that is, who here has the oldest child? Anybody have somebody that's 60? 50. Well, you got to stand up, Barb. It's part of the game. Come on, Charlotte. 55? 58. Oh, Barb's out. That's Charlotte. All right, how about the newest mom? They got one that's less than a year old? 2 years old? 3 years old? Mike doesn't count. Stacy, are you holding out on me? 4? Yeah, but what, 5? 5? Anybody else with 5? Elise. All right, here's my two favorite categories. Who is the mom with the most testosterone in their house? Tim doesn't count. Alan and Brody, so 2. Julie has 2. Barb. Lisa has 2. You don't count. Barb's 5, 2, 1. Okay? So I guess Barb wins that category. Now, the most estrogen mother. Three. Anybody got that? Brittany, you got 2. Emily, how many? You got 3, right? Kelly's 2. Julie's 2. 2. Lisa's 2. 1. Okay. Chris and Emily. Now, who here has the most children? They don't have to be living at home. How about let's go with 6? Charlotte? 5? Emily? Okay. Charlotte. Okay, now here's one I really wish Becky was here. She's not. Who is the most see the country mom? Who has seen the most states? Have anybody that's seen 20? Patsy, how about anybody else? Chris thinks states are counties. Because we see Morrow County, Richland County, Marion County. A lot of states. That's a job I would not want. All right. Which of our moms is the most educated moms? Now, I don't need you. Here's what I want. Who in here has an associate's degree? Stand up. Stand up, Julie. At least an associate's degree. Brittany, Sarah. How about a bachelor's degree? Kelly, you don't have a bachelor's degree in nursing. Jamie, you don't have a bachelor's in nursing. How about master's degree? Take a look around, guys. If you wonder how important our education system is, our four most educated women are teachers. That's a plan. That's not a coincidence. Anybody got like a doctorate degree? I think Sarah has a master's in early childhood, master's in reading. Do you have a master's in reading? Or intervention? Yeah, I think Sarah wins that because Sarah likes to go to school. Not for Chris. Chris is like, I got what I needed to get, I'm done. Okay, now the last one's my favorite. Who here is the most loved mom? Listen, you all need to stand up. You all need to stand up. And I know that's goofy, I know, but I think it's important, and I kept the kids in here because I want them to see the different moms and the different categories of moms. We have just about every basis covered in this church. So if you have a problem, or if you have a concern, or moms, if you have, you know, something you need to talk to somebody about, I guarantee there's somebody here. Okay, so it's kind of a goofy exercise by Matt, but I wanted to show the diversity of mothers that we have here. All right, kids. Brody, I know. You didn't even stay there and sit with your mom? I see. So I should cross her off the list for most loved mom? No? Okay. Good. Kids, you can go upstairs. Conference room, downstairs. All right. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we lift up our mothers. We lift up all the women in this church and all the diversity and all the love that they show on a daily basis, Lord. And we thank you for them, and we want them to know how appreciative we are of them, Lord. And we're appreciative of the fact that you knew we needed our mothers. Lord, as I move into this, just take me out of the equation and use me to be your mouthpiece, Lord, and give me the words you want me to say and speak. And let it hit home with the people it needs to hit home with. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is kind of for mothers. Well, it is for mothers. But listen, I learned a lot through this message. So there's a thing called a acrostic. Anybody know what a acrostic is? Educated, I'll go to you first. It's a poem. Thank you. You're out. You're out, Sarah. Sorry. Acrostic, and what it is, each verse of the poem is based off a word or a phrase in the previous line. Well, this guy, it's kind of acrostic. He created one for mother, and it's M-O-T-H-E-R. M is for the mink coat you want. O is for the opal ring you crave. T is for the tiny sports car you'd love. H is for the hat that makes you rave. E is for the earrings that you admire. R is for the rug on which you tread. Put them all together and they spell bankrupt. So I'm giving you this handkerchief instead. And I couldn't go through without being a total serious about it. That was written by a husband who felt the size of the gift was not important. So he wrote that to his wife. And I feel the guy's pain. I mean, Mother's Day, I felt kind of bad yesterday or Friday. Chris and I went to a store and we got some stuff for our moms. And I said, Chris, I really didn't get it. She said, Matt, I'm not your mother. And I thought about that. My kids are to a point where Dad doesn't have to take them shopping anymore. They have their own money. They have their own whatever ideas on what mom needs. So I'm going to throw them under the bus here today. So what Matt got Chris for Mother's Day is there's going to be a new patio in the back of our house. And 2 weeks ago, or last week on Friday night, when I came home from work and softball practice, I had my crew come and we started tearing off the deck. So what Chris actually got for Mother's Day is a big mud puddle behind her sliding glass door because it didn't get done. It was supposed to happen this week. It didn't happen because of the rain. So, hey, whatever. But I made the attempt. I tore the deck off. I did what I was supposed to do. Okay? My kids, the Amazon shoppers that they are, decided they were going Amazon shopping for Mother's Day. And in their defense, they did this back in, like, March. Stuff should have been here. Well, it's in... Nobody really knows where it's at for sure. So they got her patio furniture, covers, pads for her patio furniture. That's cool. Shelby did get her flowers and a nice card that really is fitting for our family, and I wish I'd have brought it, but I didn't. But is it really, moms, are they really after the gift? Is God really after the gifts we give Him? You know what God's really after? He's after me. He wants me. He doesn't care if we're a perfect Sunday Christian. He wants us to have a relationship every day with Him. So, today I'm going to use a passage in Proverbs. It is also an acrostic. And I'm taking smarter people than me's word for this. But each verse in this passage we're going to use today starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm going to use Proverbs 31, and it's 10 through 31. And the word study that came up with mine, it says, wife of noble character. And the Greek or the Hebrew was Ishet Chali. And I probably butchered that. But what that means is it's a translation of two Hebrew words. The first word, Ishet, means woman or wife. And Shayil means strength, power, wealth, or might. in the Bible, which is dominated by male themes, the book Proverbs ends with an alphabetic acrostic about the ideal wife. The author describes various characteristics of a noble woman whom the modern scholar Robert Alter calls a domestic warrior. Now, there's a lot of words in there. Here's what I want you to take. A wife of noble character. And I like what the guy calls. He calls a wife a domestic warrior. People, I want you to think about the wives or the women in your lives. And they fight for a lot of things. Right? I mean, when the babies are born, babies are totally dependent. And I don't want to go piggyback on Doug's, but for the first 5 years of the child's life, the mother is the most important person to them ever. Then we move to 5 to 10. Kids are still dependent, but they start saying no. So then mother has to become a disciplinarian. At 15, what happens? We don't like our parents. We think they're quite possibly the dumbest people in the world. And as a dad, that doesn't bother me because I know I'm not very smart. When my kids tell me that, I kind of laugh. But then by the time our kids hit 20 to 25-ish, what happens? It happened to me. I used to think my parents were the weirdest people on the earth. I'm kind of getting back to that point now, and I'm almost 50. I think they're kind of strange. They're not as weird as Chris's parents, though. I'm teasing. But now, I see those lessons my mom and dad taught me when I turned 20, 25, and I went from being defiant and thinking my parents were dumb, the man that world sets around them again. So it's that circle. While we never become fully dependent on our parents again like we were pre-5, it's emotional now. Right? And as we see our parents age, sometimes it's painstaking to see our parents age. Because we just think of them as the young people that I thought was dumb 20 years ago. Right? Kids, if you're hearing this, I guarantee you'll go through that range of emotions. And you will come back to, man, my parents were pretty cool. They did what was best for me instead of doing what I wanted all the time. All right, so let's get into this. The wife of noble character. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So I'm going to stop. I don't know, I'm not into gems and that, but I'm, you know, a ruby, pretty valuable, right? And I wish I knew what an ounce of a ruby was worth. I don't. But she is worth far more than rubies. Guys, this is God's word telling you what a wife of noble character is worth. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Now, we're going to have to define value there. So as a husband, what can I expect from my wife? I don't want for anything. Right? I know Chris gets frustrated with me because she doesn't mind cooking. She likes cooking. But you know what? She through the week, she leaves about a little bit later than I do. here's something else that come up. We had our four most educated mothers, right? They're all teachers. So the people with the highest degree of education work the shortest day. That's a cut on teachers. Chris leaves the house later than me, gets home before me. Not by much. But you know what? I'd rather work 12 hours than deal with the stuff they deal with in the schools. You guys are amazing. Teachers are amazing. That's not a slam on teachers. But Chris leaves the house around the same time as I do, gets home, works a full day. I work a full day. And all Chris wants me to do is tell her what I want for supper. Now, if you look at me, I don't turn away many meals, right? And that's the thing I say. I eat whatever you put in front of me. It doesn't, but I get it. Sometimes I get it. It's frustrating. I'm frustrating. I get it. Unfortunately, I've raised three girls that are equally frustrating because they'll eat anything too and don't complain. But we don't have an opinion, and sometimes we need to have an opinion because she's just trying to give us our full value so that we lack nothing and we can't tell her what we want for supper. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Listen, Chris does, and wives in general, I'm not saying just Chris, they do a lot of the junk behind the scenes that nobody even knows they did. You know, when I do something, I say, hey, look what I did. You know, I guess you don't realize that she goes to work. She comes home. She does two or three loads of laundry. She gets supper on the table. She sometimes gets help cleaning up supper, sometimes. We're lucky. We're lucky as men and as children that we have noble wives and parents, or, yeah, mothers. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Understand, in those days when you were in charge, you weren't just cooking for your four or five kids. You had to feed your servants because you needed the work done still. And the good ones took great care of their servants. And that's... sound familiar? Sound familiar? There's a reason motherhood and Christianity are together. Because if we are going to be good parents or good mothers, we've got to understand what happened on that cross and what happened in that tomb. And why he did what he did. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. What's that mean? I'll tell you what that means. It means moms work nonstop. Because they see the good that's happening. My wife never stops trying to make my daughters better. Never. I'm pretty sure she dreams about it. Okay? Man, when I go to sleep, I don't dream. I do, but I don't remember them. Chris recalls vivid dreams, and I'm like, oof, I was asleep. You know, most of those dreams go back to not worrying about herself. She worries about everybody else. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. We've heard it said before that the church is what? Christ's bridegroom, right? A great definition of what the church should be right there and what we as Christians should be, not just mothers, opens our arms to the poor and extends our hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear in her household. Never mind. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. I'm not sure the significance of scarlet, but I'm sure it's probably a fine color. And it's probably scarlet wool is what they're talking about, because it's warm, right? It's durable. It's warm. These are all things mothers do. You know, anybody glad their mom didn't just send them out to school walking uphill both ways in flip-flops in the snow? Now, anybody ever argue with mom about walking both ways in flip-flops in the snow? Just me. It wasn't me, because I don't walk or wear flip-flops. But your moms take all that. They worry about you when you're here. They worry about you when you're not here. They make sure that you're equipped for what you need to do. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Ugh. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed in strength and dignity. Guys, that one's important. Because I don't care what our wives or our moms actually make, sell, buy, trade. It's important that they're clothed in dignity. Where does that come from? That comes from the way we treat them. Our moms need to be treated as the heads of the household, or the queens of the household that they are. She can laugh at the days to come. It was fun for me. I went to bed at like 11:45 last night, but Morgan had three girls over. We thought they were coming for a campfire, so Chris and I had a campfire rolling, and we had cooked s'mores or whatever, and actually two of the girls showed up because they can't drive, so their parents dropped them off at like, I don't know, 10 o'clock. The prom was till 10 in Mansfield, so Morgan didn't get home till like 11:15. So these two girls, and I'm glad they're comfortable enough to do that, but they sat there at the campfire with us, and I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. That other parents trust Chris and I enough to have their daughters sit with us in the dark at a fire until Morgan shows up. Actually, I think those parents were just glad to get rid of them. Well, it had nothing to do with trust. But she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You ever wonder why sometimes mom hesitates to speak? It's because she's waiting. Because she's trying to speak with wisdom. Even when, kids pay attention, even when you make her angry, she wants to speak with you, to you, with wisdom. Dad, me, on the other hand, doesn't always wait. And moms give faithful instructions, always on their tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And this is kind of the verse that I was going to, is, man, moms never stop. You know, as a dad, I got a shut-off valve. About 9 o'clock, man, it's... Dad's day's done. Mom's is not. Mom was up last night till almost 1:30, and I heard them cackling the whole time. And I'm like, what in the world? But Morgan had a good time. Lexi had a good time. Alan, good time. So all the kids had a good time. And I contend it's because the mothers have given instructions, and the mothers have taken the time to invest in our kids. And there's no greater investment you can make than in our kids. Her children arise and are called blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Actually, it's funny that that comes up, because when I use Kristen as an example up here, sometimes she doesn't come off painted in the best light. And that's not why I'm doing that. Chris and I's relationship is good, great, but there are things that Chris has to tell me what to do because I'm not real smart. Okay? But I try to put her on a pedestal up here because she is terrific. Great mother, great wife, and sometimes it doesn't always come across that way. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Guys, here's what I want you to take from that. As a mom, you surpass all. Because you're there 24/7, and you're speaking with wisdom, and you're giving instruction, and chances are, it's right. Because you've taken the time to invest in this. It's not because women are just smarter. It's not because Christian women are smarter than other women. It's because they pour into themselves what our God says. And then, what comes out? It's what is poured in. And that's not a woman or man thing. That's a Christian thing. That's the way we all need to be. We need to dig into this thing every day. And therefore, when we get faced with situations, what's going to come out? God's love. God's words. Not my words. My words usually don't end very well. Then verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We're not always going to be 20 or 30, right? Listen, at almost 50, I know that I'm not as good as I once was. But in most parts of my life, I'm better than I once was because of this. No other reason. It's not because I'm a better dude than I was when I was 25. It's because I'm wiser than I was when I was 25 because I've studied. And I've poured in, and I've tried to put myself in situations that God's love can show. Women do that without thinking about it. I have to think about doing it. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. Guys, that's God's words. That's not Matt's. Now here's what I'll tell you. Try to give a mom praise at the city gate. They're not showing up at the city gate to get that praise. But that's what makes them noble. They're not in it for the praise. So, kids, if you go home today and you say, Mom, I love you because it's Mother's Day, your mom's not going to care about that. They care that you love them. not to, because it's Mother's Day. And if you got them a gift, perfect. Your mom doesn't care about the gift. Your mom cares about what you do with the gift she gave you.
Yeah, I didn't.
This passage is used to be a teaching tool for young women, wives, and mothers to bring out the virtues that embody a godly woman. And why did I title this Gaze on Christian Godly Women? Gaze of a Godly Mother. Because in order to be this type of woman, she must set her gaze on certain priorities. Guys, if your mom or your mother, her only priority was to get you out of the house when you're 18, your experience is going to be a lot different when you go out into the world than if your mother's priority was to raise a Christian, godly man or woman. You know, and I've read a lot of parenting books, and one of the things that always amazed me, and my girls were, I don't know, probably 9 or 10, Shelby was, when we took a parenting class, and I know I'd read it somewhere before in here probably, but pray for your child's spouse. And you know, that was something that never thought about before. But before we took that class, I know Chris was doing that for years. Unbeknownst to me. But that's pretty cool. And I suppose my mom and her mom prayed for our spouses when we were kids. I don't know. I hope, because I hope it's God's plan that Chris and I, well, I know it's God's plan that Chris and I are together, because she still wouldn't be with me if some of the stuff I put her through. But I want to take you back to one last example of motherhood, and I'm not going to go to the verses, but it's the ultimate example, Mary. Right? She was engaged to be married. She was young. Teen young. And an angel appeared to her and said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby, and I want you to call him Jesus." And you know what Mary's response was? "That's God's will. I'm there. I'm your servant." Okay, so let's fast forward. I do want to use this passage, because as moms and as parents, this happens to us all, and it's the one time I know why it happened, but it's the one time I kind of wanted to shake Jesus and say, "Dude, what are you doing?" But I understand why it happened. But Matthew, Mark, good job. I had my papers marking it, but I pulled my papers out. Anyway, the question arose, and it said, it was important, so I don't want to tell you, quote it wrong. Anyway, it's important. Jesus was with his disciples, he was teaching, and the question came up, "What about your mother and father?" And he said, "My mother and father are the people that follow God." Paraphrased. And I was like, man, a part of me says, man, he kind of said, my mom and dad aren't important right there. Then I thought, you know what? It's not what he said. So we've all had those times in our lives when our kids say something about us or to us and it hurts. I'm sure Mary was crushed at that point when she heard that. But when she went home and really thought about it, I think she got what Jesus was saying. Okay? And then the last image I'll leave you with is Mary as a mother, is her at the foot of the cross. Guys, my prayer, my hope is that as mothers and fathers, we never have to see our child pass before us. But it happens. We have an example of what it is. And I don't fully understand how much love was in that mother until you think about it in today's perspective of how much love mothers have and how much they sacrifice, how much they put their life on hold for 18 to 25 years to raise godly children. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. It doesn't matter if our kids grow up and have more money than we have. That's what our hope is. They're more financially secure. They have an easier life than what we do. What matters is our kids are godly adults. That's our job as parents. That's not society's job. That's not the school system's job. That is our job as parents, to raise godly adults. And it's a training process. And I am thankful that I have the best mom in the world helping me raise my girl. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for mothers. And Lord, as we go and we celebrate with families today or we do whatever, I want us to understand that godly mothers mean the world. And godly mothers raise godly children. And godly children become godly mothers and fathers. Lord, in our society today, we need to get back to the center of it all. And that's raising godly children. And I'm thankful that I have examples in this church and in my life every single day of godly mothers and godly parents. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we just ask a special blessing for all the moms out there today, Lord, that whether it be somebody cooking lunch for them or taking them to lunch or doing something around the house without being asked, Lord, our moms don't expect much. In your name we pray. Amen. So before I forget, there are, for all the moms out there, mothers, there are flower pots potted over there. Please take one of those before you leave. I'll have some people help me deliver. But Jesse and I will be here. Praise Band's going to be here and bring a song. And guys, if there's anything in your life